Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm on, when I'm
home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam Podcast, here wherever you get your podcasts, or on Patreon, a day early and without any ads. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how you doing today?
Penny, I'm doing all right, yes. I'm doing okay, yes. Issue 42 of ITR Magazine arrived at the Martin residence today with Cody Rhodes on the front. Have you received yours yet?
Yes, we received ours today as well, so there you go, a day before release. The main release, so it's always a perk if you're a subscriber or you're involved with the magazine, which means you also are on the list. So it's and I hope people enjoy it. It's a packed issue, so I think people are gonna have a lot to get through. So
yes, definitely. Well, I mean, let's face it, January was, you know, I mean, apart from obviously June 2007, you know, probably could be the biggest month, or maybe March 2001. I would say probably one of the top three most eventful months in all the time I've been covering wrestling last month.
It was mental, absolutely mental. Yeah. We should mention before we start, you are fully Veluxed.
Yes, the windows are in, so people don't have to listen to me banging on about that anymore.
Yeah, well, there'll be something new, there always is. But until then, we are here. Now, just a quick note, there's not going to be a What's Going Down next week because I will be travelling during the Trish tour and then I'm travelling back on the Wednesday and don't get back to the evening. So it just makes sense to, you know, on Thursday we'll record a longer Power Slam podcast where we can kind of get into Raw and SmackDown, get into the news, and then business as usual from there. So
yes.
But you know, if you're a big fan of listening to us, then Patreon, there is stuff going up all the time. Our stuff, we've actually been a kind of happy accident that's happened, which will be helpful to us not being on Tuesday, because our new bonus podcast covering the Iron Claw and the Kerry Von Erich Ric Flair match is up. But it turns out that the last bonus one that we did, where we covered the first episode of Raw, actually is still in drafts. It didn't go out.
Wasn't it the first Nitro?
No, we also did the first Raw, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was ages ago.
Was that ages ago? I thought that wasn't last... Was last month's was the... Because the Nitro... I was checking this. The Nitro one went out in December. At the end of December.
Okay.
So, there might be one that I've not put out because I'm pretty sure there's one in drafts that is ready to go. But I'm going to double check what that is so I don't repost stuff. But there's plenty of stuff of us on Patreon anyway, is the point. So
of course.
There's the No Way Out review with Sandra and us. There's the Kerry Von Erich, Ric Flair, and Iron Claw episode. So there's loads up there. Go check that stuff out.
Well, we did a big review of the movie, and it's like, you know, there just wasn't room for me to write about it in the magazine, I'm afraid, because it would have, I would just needed too many words to really express how much, you know, the things I liked about the movie. And there's a lot I liked about it, but there's also things about it that were frustrating to me.
Yeah,
And
and we go into
we
we
went
go
through
into
those on the podcast.
Before we talk about Raw, which we're obviously going to talk about, sad news today, the passing of Virgil, who passed away today. Mike Jones at 61, he passed away today. He passed away. Yeah, he passed away today. But yeah, I mean, you know, he ended up becoming kind of a comedy figure in the last few years because obviously he would kind of be doing his fuck money gimmick and his Olive Garden, and he'd go to all these shows. He was kind of doing a similar gimmick to what the Iron Sheik was doing in recent years. But I mean, the guy had a long career for someone who never really got to be past a certain level. Like
Yeah, I mean, he did. He did. I mean, he just had friends in the right places. I mean, it was, you'd always amuse me that he would bill himself as like undefeated at WrestleMania. I don't know why that amused me, but it did. And I mean, when I first started watching wrestling, he was Ted DiBiase's bodyguard, and you know, he was, you know, a big part of that act, wasn't he? And Ted DiBiase was the hottest heel in certainly in WWF and arguably in all of pro wrestling in like 88. So he was a big part of that act. He didn't really say much. I mean, inevitably he split from DiBiase, and you know, I didn't really in 91 when because it was 91 when they had the match, wasn't it? Roddy Piper was there. Come on, Virgil, you know, and Piper was a big part of the success of the Virgil act, I feel, at that point. And certainly DiBiase was as well, because he ended up putting Virgil over, didn't he?
And I mean, people don't remember. I mean, if you go back and watch, Virgil was over for a point. Like, if you go back and watch when he won the $1 million title at SummerSlam 91, I mean, Madison Square Garden was going insane for him at that point. So, like, there was a brief period where he was really over after that DiBiase split. And you forget how early he was around. He was there in 88 with DiBiase, and he was with him through to 91. He was involved in, you know, lots of big main events like that first SummerSlam, where it was the Mega Powers and the Mega Bucks. He was involved in that. And because the build would have been about, I can't remember when in 88 it was he turned up with DiBiase, but it's got to be close to 3 years when they were together before the turn. But people just bought into it.
Maybe, actually, maybe he wasn't around when I first started watching, but he showed up soon afterwards. And you know, I thought he looked really mean. He didn't really say much, but that was the he didn't need to, because DiBiase was a great promo guy. And he was a big part of that era when WWF was really at its peak in like 88, 89. And you know, the split was really big, and I didn't really understand it at the time, but a lot of his popularity was, of course, linked to how over DiBiase was and how amazing DiBiase was as a worker. You know, truly one of the greatest of all time. And he just worked so hard to make Virgil appear to be a star. And as I mentioned, Roddy Piper on commentary as well, I felt was a big part of the reason that that was a huge success, that storyline and that split. And, you know, him, you know, then, you know, having that match. And I always remember thinking, wow, you know, I don't really care about this guy, but now they're making me care. And that's how good these people are who are around him. And I thought he played his part well also. I mean, he wasn't a top worker, obviously, nor was he particularly great on promos, but it was kind of the system making him a star and him actually going with it and, you know, making the best of what was presented to him. And, I mean, he got the job obviously with the NWO. I didn't realize when I first started watching WWF that he was called Virgil after Dusty Rhodes, Virgil Riley Reynolds. Dusty Rhodes is his real name. So I didn't realize that at the time, and that was an inside joke See, if you weren't au fait with inside wrestling, which I wasn't when I first started watching in American Wrestling in 88, how could I be? I didn't realize that he'd been named after, the Booker of Jim Crockett Promotions. And then, of course, the same thing happened when he became a member of the NWO. He was called Vince, wasn't he, after Vince McMahon? So, I mean, he's sort of weird, isn't he? He's got all these sort of claims to fame that are sort of almost dubious.
Yeah, he does. And just to correct myself, he actually turned up in the summer of 87
Summer
with
of 87.
DiBiase. So he would have
Oh.
been there when you were first watching it. And and I think obviously as time went on, he wasn't with DiBiase anymore. He became less over, but they
Yeah.
also stopped pushing him. You know, they by the
Yes.
time he got to SummerSlam 92, he wasn't a jobber yet, but he was kind of on the way out. He was putting over guys like Nails, and he was putting over Yokozuna, and yeah, he just it fizzled out. But he was, I implore anybody who's not seen it, if you think Virgil was just a joke character, just go on the network and look at that SummerSlam 91 where he wins the title from DiBiase. It's a huge moment for him. So,
Yeah.
yeah, sad time. 61 is too young to go, but you know, he had a
Yeah, it is. It is far too young to go 61. I mean, that's only 7 years older than me. So,
Yeah, I think he had a couple of strokes in 2022, and he was back on dementia. So I think he'd had a lot of stuff that had
I
happened.
mean, that's young to be diagnosed with dementia, isn't it? I don't know whether I mentioned this in the book. My father's got it. It's not actually that bad yet, but it's getting worse. So that's, something that, he's had it for about, was diagnosed in September 2022. So this is something that I'm obviously familiar with on a reg on not a daily basis, but nearly daily. And yeah, it's but yeah, to be diagnosed with that when you're in your late 50s, I know it does happen, obviously. And that, could have also been linked to the bumps and things like that he took, the head trauma. I mean, even though he wasn't, a full-time wrestler, a lot of his career, he was not a full-time wrestler. He was a wrestler and obviously took a lot of bumps in his career.
Well, you know, again, it's sad, but hopefully what comes out is he gets a little bit more recognition than he does, because you know, people just kind of think of him as a joke, I think, sometimes. And
Yeah, I mean, he kind of sent himself up though, didn't he, at the end? I mean, he did play on that. So, I mean, that was part of the reason why that people treated him like that, because he really, that was something that he encouraged, didn't he? He was sending himself up. There's no doubt about that.
He actually once sent me a DM on Twitter, and he said, "Book me and let's make some money." But the thing is, like, the gag is funny, but you know, what I'm selling with people, I can't do that for 90 minutes. You know, it's just not possible. But anyway, let's move on to Raw from this past Monday, which was the fallout from Elimination Chamber. We opened the show with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch having a segment, because Dominic introduced Rhea, and then Becky came out, and they had this back and forth, and Becky talks about how, you know, the man's coming to fight Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. She's going to beat her, and you know, she's the heart and soul of the company, even though Ripley's the champion and the man can do it. And then Ripley basically said, you know, "Don't ever disrespect Dom again," and said that, you know, "I'm glad that you finally won something, but you know, you're the man, and as always, there's a behind every man, there's a great woman, but I'm not behind you, I'm straight in front of you." And you know, Ripley basically kind of delivers her mission statement, drops the mic, but then Nia Jax runs in from behind, takes out Becky, batters Becky as Ripley and Dom kind of leave and laugh. But I thought it
Yeah.
was our first exchange with Ripley and Becky Lynch. This is pretty hot. I thought people were quite into
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, and we were talked, didn't we, on the Elimination Chamber review, and I was like, well, maybe we should have had Becky Lynch come out at the end there. And it's like, well, if they'd done that Elimination Chamber, then that would have diluted Rhea Ripley's moments. So they chose to do the confrontation here on Raw and from San Jose, which I think probably did make sense. And yeah, Ripley said, welcome. I mean, Dominic Mysterio was hilarious on commentary. You know, Rhea very much back in the heel role in San Jose. Well, you know, which she wasn't, of course, in Perth in Australia. So Dom Mysterio was there, and I mean, the heat he provoked was just unreal. And Pat McAfee was cackling Kenny on commentary. I mean, you just thought it was hilarious. Ripley said, "Welcome to Monday Night, Mammy." The line she said was, "Behind every great man is a greater woman." Well, this was big time, this segment, wasn't it? Big time.
Yeah.
It just felt like two main event stars who know their business, know their characters. All the dialogue was just like, you know, delivered perfectly. You know, no perfect. Everything was just sounded great. You know, the comments were just, whoever wrote this, hopefully they had a hand in the, you know, interaction, you know, the interplay. But it was spot on. The wording of everything was just spot on. They didn't say too much, nor should they have done, because this, of course, was their first proper confrontation, or at least their first confrontation since Elimination Chamber. And then Nia Jax Rock turned up. She beat Lynch down. And later, we should mention that Becky Lynch then spoke to, well, actually, we'll get to that later, won't we?
Yeah, we'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back to that. But a really good opening segment. Then we had a match with Sami Zayn and Nakamura, and the whole idea here was that Sami Zayn needs a win to be in with a chance at WrestleMania. He does get a win here in about 15 minutes. I can't lie to you and say that I was enthralled at Sami Zayn versus Nakamura for 15 minutes, but I get why they did it, and it was good for Sami Zayn to get a win.
Yeah, I mean, fans were really into it, and progressively, increasingly so as the match, you know, worked towards its finish, the crowd became more and more into it. So, I mean, it was a success with the live crowd. And with you, I mean, I didn't need to see those two wrestle for that long. I mean, I don't know what Nakamura's role is now. To me, you might as well just turn him face, because I think you can do some good comedy stuff with him as a face. And as a heel, he's a spent force now. He's lost to Cody. He's just lost to Sami Zayn. We can't really take him seriously as a heel anymore. But as a face, I think there's probably some mileage left in him. The action was really good. And Zayn got the win, which was, you know, integral to whatever story it is they're going to tell with him. We don't know what that story is yet. We think we know. I think he's going to turn heel. But we'll see about that.
Well, one of the things on the show was we did have Gunther come out, and he was talking about, you know, how he'd beaten Jey Uso, and, you know, he actually, you know, came close to the title slipping away from him. He said, "Nobody's perfect, but I'm very close." And this kind of ties in with throughout the show, we had Sami Zayn talking about how he needs to become champ, or he needs to be on WrestleMania. And we see a face-off with him and Sami backstage, where he laughs in Sami's face. We also had a segment where Chad Gable pleaded to Adam Pearce that he should be the man to face Gunther at WrestleMania because of Gunther basically making his kids cry.
Yeah.
And said that, you know, this is bigger than a title.
Yeah.
And then in this segment, Gunther was interrupted by the Judgment Day, who were all kind of coming out and saying, and Damian Priest says, you know, "We're going to come after that IC title." And you would be initially kind of thinking, are they going to go with Priest and Gunther? But then Dominic Mysterio steps in front of Priest and sort of said the title belongs to the Judgment Day. And then backstage, he told Rhea Ripley that he is going to be the one, Dom, who wants to go for the IC title. So we're basically getting thrown a lot of, you know, things here in terms of Gunther. How do you kind of break it down, and what do you think will be the match that we get?
I really don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Dominic Mysterio versus Gunther at WrestleMania. That'll be a TV match, one would assume. And Gunther was slightly taken aback that Dom stepped up to challenge him, as was Rhea Ripley backstage. Like, are you sure about this, Dom? Ripley really questioned the wisdom of Dominic's challenge to Gunther. And then backstage also, we had some interaction between Dominic and Andrade. And
Yes.
like they were like oh, like almost like old pals, but Andrade is a face as far as we know, and obviously Dominic's a heel. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, Chad Gable is, I guess, a candidate to face Gunther at WrestleMania, but they need to strap that rocket to him. And without further delay, and just something big needs to happen next week if he's going to challenge Gunther at WrestleMania. Because Chad's been like overlooked and not used to, the best fullness of his potential. We all know this. But I mean, after Gunther beat Chad in that match where Chad's missus and kids were there and kids were crying, he did vow, to make it right, didn't he? He was like, I'm gonna beat you. He was making it clear that he wanted a rematch with Gunther. And there was a huge amount of support for Gable's challenge that night. And actually, whenever Gable's in the ring, even though people think, oh, who's this guy? We haven't seen him wrestle for ages. They're not doing much with him. Because he's so good and so likable, the crowd really get behind him, don't they? Doesn't matter where he is. So, I mean, he could, and it might seem like a stretch for Chad to be the one to dethrone Gunther, but I mean, I think there'd be support for it, and I think the match would be amazing.
You've got to consider it at least. I mean, I feel like we're heading towards a multi-man match of some kind. I feel like you almost want to keep it to a triple threat because the more that are in there, the harder it is to contain it. Because Gunther's a guy who's not, you're not putting Gunther in a ladder match.
No.
Because he can, A, you might want to keep him for Money in the Bank, or you might want to put him in that eventually. And also he's so good at all the other stuff. So I can't really. Maybe it's a triple threat with Sammy and Chad Gable. I mean, they're obviously putting Chad Gable in there as a potential, so it's possible that he might be one of the people, but yeah, I'm just not sure. I can't really call it at the moment,
Yeah.
which.
Yeah. I mean, Zay if Zayn's in there and then Zayn doesn't win, that could be his motivation for the heel turn, which I think is his destination.
Because
And
even if
like,
Sami Zayn was somehow to win, I actually don't think that as much as people on the night would be a big fan of the win, I don't think him as a babyface IC champ, based on how he is right now, would be that exciting.
no.
I mean, he's cooled off so much in the last kind of 8 months or so. So, I mean, I'm coming around more and more to your heel turn idea because, then he could turn again down the line.
Sure.
And him and KO as heels, I wouldn't be against because Owens is kind of in a similar predicament to Zayn, where he kind of
Yeah,
feels
yeah.
that played out. So,
Yeah, and those two can do stuff with Cody. If Cody becomes champ, as we suspect he will at WrestleMania, there's mileage in that, in Zayn and KO as his opponents. So yeah, there's Drew McIntyre could even form like a faction with Drew on the team as well, maybe. I mean, that probably would be, yeah, really quite exciting, actually.
Yes, plenty
So,
of options.
yeah, I mean, KO and Zayn could go for the tag belts again, maybe. There's a lot of options there with Zayn and Owens and Drew McIntyre as like a trio. But yeah, I think it's time for Gunther to lose the belt as well, because once Cody becomes champ, assuming he's going to become champ at WrestleMania, then Gunther down the line is a top challenger to Cody, isn't he?
Yeah. And there's plenty. I mean, because sometimes whenever there's like a lead up to WrestleMania, and babyface is going to win the belt. Like say when Seth Rollins won the belt from Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, there wasn't really any exciting challengers for Seth Rollins. I mean, he ended up in a feud with Baron Corbin, if you remember. So it was not good. But this time, it feels like for people like Cody, if he wins the belt, there's so many options of what you could do, and it would be exciting options. There's not a Baron Corbin in sight, luckily. So,
Yeah.
hurrah for that.
But
We
what about
did.
Baron Corbin's renaissance in NXT, Kenny?
Well, listen, I'm happy for the guy, but keep your renaissance down there, pal. Keep it down there. I'm not ready. I still have the PTSD of the Stomping Grounds mixed tag with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans.
Oh dear, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Strange, wasn't it weird that Seth and Becky Lynch just had no chemistry together on screen? Wasn't that weird?
Which is crazy because I've seen them. I mean, I've not had a chance to watch it yet, but you know that Hot Ones chicken wing show on YouTube? Like, it's just come out today that there's one with Seth and Becky. And I've seen them do a couple of videos together, and they actually are quite sweet together as a couple, but none of that translated on screen in 2019 when they did.
It was like, you know, it's like there was just like, it's like they didn't even know each other and didn't even want to work together. You know, it was just odd.
Yeah, it was bizarre. We then had a street fight with Imperium in the New Day, which we were told was 2 years in the making, which I can't. Is it 2 years that they've been on and off having these kind of matches?
I know this has been a weird decade, right? And time has stood still about when it comes to lots of things this decade. But I mean, has it been 2 years? It's not been 2 years. It's just not been 2 years. I mean, Gunther and Kaiser haven't even been on the main roster for 2 years. Weren't they called up in, was it April 2022, I think it was?
Yes. Which, well, I mean, that would be 2 years.
Yeah, but Giovanni Vinci came later, didn't he?
I think they're probably just using Ludwig Kaiser. Because was Kaiser with him straight away?
Yes, he was. They came up together from NXT. But yeah, they came up after WrestleMania in 2022, didn't they?
Yeah, so maybe they're having a very tenuous link to get it to 2 years. But
it's artistic license. it's just blatant. Let's be honest, it was a blatant exaggeration.
It was. I thought that the teams worked hard here, though. You know, they got 18 minutes. They did their best. I can't say that I was... You know, it's just I'm the New Day. I've said this before. I'm so over them as an act, which is a shame because they're both very talented guys, and I like them both. But I just feel like they're just played out.
Yeah,
and they're approaching Ziggler levels, which is
yeah. I would agree. I mean, I thought the match was really well done. I mean, there was I thought the finish actually was tremendous. I watched the finish twice, and you know, Kaiser scored the pin, and it was just like, I thought the finish just came together brilliantly. And the cameras were all in the right place. And, you know, it was just, yeah, just all pow, you know, and big win for Imperium. And you're right, yeah, what does New Day do now? I mean, they just feel like totally, even though they're both still really good, and they've still got a connection with the audience as well, it's just for us, we've just seen them do everything. There's nothing left for them to do.
Well, if you want to use artistic license, we're going on 10 years of the New Day, because they got together late 2014, I think it was.
Wow.
So, I'm just double checking that, because they were definitely on the pre-show at WrestleMania 31 in 2015. So they got their first vignette. They made their debut as the New Day on November 28th, 2014.
Wow!
So over 9 years ago.
Hmm.
I mean, it's hard enough, you know, if you're somebody like Randy Orton to stay relevant after how long he's been here. But you know, you need some help. You need some help from creative and some help to be featured and all that. And they were good in this match, but I think we need more story stuff.
I just feel like, I mean, they've been down to NXT. They had a tag reign there and dropped the belts, and I thought they were really productive in NXT.
Yep.
When they just dropped in there and worked with some of the younger teams. So they can't do that again because they've already done that. I mean, I don't really know what's left for them as an act. And no. I think it's probably time for them to move on to pastures new, Kenny.
Yeah, I would agree. And then elsewhere on Raw, we had there's some dross we don't really talk about. We had Drew McIntyre coming out for the top of Earth 3. And he like sat in the CM Punk leg cross position, and then I did love that he looked at the camera and said, "Don't you be looking up my kilt, you pervert," to the cameraman. It's very funny. And he says he knows it hurts for CM Punk to not be in the chamber match at WrestleMania, but you know, McIntyre actually did something for Punk. He said, "I know that you're straight edge, so I drank twice as much in the flight home just for you," which was just a great line.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was hilarious.
And
And
he
you're just talking before, Kenny, about how stuff, set up, so many things are set up post-WrestleMania. I mean, this Drew McIntyre and CM Punk feud's going to be magic.
Yeah,
It's
it's
going
gonna
to
be
be
so good.
tremendous in the late summer, early autumn.
Yeah, it's gonna be very good. So I think that I think that by having it kind of in the background where you're mentioning it now and then is a good way to remind people. And then that kind of plays into the Rollins stuff when Rollins comes out because McIntyre's using CM Punk to get more heat. And the whole crux of this was McIntyre saying, "Why are you trying to get involved with this bloodline stuff? You know what they've done to you and to me. And if you get involved, they're going to ruin our match at WrestleMania. And they might cost you the match, but then my victory is tainted." And Rollins says that, he's the architect and he has to try and take down the bloodline. It's bigger than both of them. He's got a plan. And he sort of said, he's healthy. And he wants to rip apart the bloodline once and for all, but he does offer the handshake of may the best man win. What did you make of their exchange here? Did this get you intrigued and excited about their title match at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it definitely did do. And I mean, it's a different direction that they're going at this because this Drew McIntyre character, I think, is a true original. I mean, there is some hypocrisy there, of course, but he's a heel, so every heel has to be a hypocrite to some extent. And I mean, it was really funny when he was sat in the ring mocking CM Punk and just mentioned the thing about drinking twice as much, after his victory. And I bet Punk at home was watching and just cracking up at that and thinking, this is golden. This is just brilliant material for us to, for me to work with when I finally do return. And yeah, then Seth Rollins came out and Rollins said that it was worth getting involved in the bloodline business. It was the right thing to do morally. Some things, as you said, were bigger than him or bigger than them. And this was something that he just felt, an almost a moral obligation to involve himself in. And then Drew was being really self-serving. Oh, they might get involved in our match, and that's going to taint my win. So he's already assuming that he's going to win. He's already in his mind. He's already won the match and already won the title. So he's definitely the heel, and he's seeking the booze. So he's saying all the right things here. Because the problem with this Drew character is that he needs to be slightly hypocritical. He needs to be really arrogant because if he's not careful, he could accidentally turn himself babyface, couldn't he?
Yeah, not 100%. I think he's got to be careful. He's got to be really careful because in history we know when people get so good at their being a heel, people eventually want to cheer them. So it's a fine line to draw.
Definitely. And especially with the WrestleMania crowd being like, I know it's going to be a lot of people there. It's not like they're, playing in some little venue or anything, but it's the hardcore fans, isn't it? It's the diehards. And there's going to be support for Drew. There's going to be a lot of people traveling there from the UK and Europe. So Drew really needs to ratchet up the heel behavior. He needs to make sure that we know he's the villain, he's the bad guy. And that morally, he's maybe not repugnant, but certainly at least certainly questionable in his morals. Because it's good job. I mean, Rollins is obviously popular as a face now, which is something that I never thought would happen. I always thought that he was a bit of a flop as a face, and it always just felt quite forced. But finally, after all these years, Rollins has found himself as a baby face, hasn't he? And that is just. Once upon a time, that was inconceivable to me that he was ever going to get there, but he absolutely has. And he's very comfortable in this role. It's over the top, but we're familiar with it now. We know it. We know who he is and what he does and what he's going to say. So, he's in a good position right now in his career, and he can certainly take the loss, and he can take a clean loss as well if Drew wins clean. And hopefully he will, because that there, maybe they can just build the match around Rollins' knee injury. If Drew wins that one clean, then that's going to be even bigger for him, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, yeah, this was a good start again, like Rhea Ripley, and I mean, I guess it's different for this because they did face off at Crown Jewel. They're kind of already intertwined, but I thought this was a good jump-off point to the WrestleMania match. We then had Nia Jax against Liv Morgan. Obviously, Morgan had a really good show in Elimination Chamber, so she was getting the match here. And I was hopeful that this wasn't going to be a loss for Morgan after the good showing. And luckily, Becky Lynch attacked Nia Jax for the finish, and you know she ended up battering her head off of the announce table, hitting her from behind, and then Nia sort of falls through the ropes. And you know, Liv Morgan's looking pretty upset at ringside because obviously she was in the match. So there's some good stuff here to kind of add a layer, and I'm guessing Nia Jax is going to be involved with Becky because we do still have five more Raws until WrestleMania after this show,
Yes.
so there's time to fill.
Yeah, and Lynch asked Adam Pearce later on the program for a match next week with Nia Jax, and Adam Pearce greenlit that. So it's going to be Lynch versus Nia on next week's Raw. Yeah, I thought Liv Morgan and Nia Jax was well done. Jax really did sell for Morgan here, more than I thought she was going to after her defeat to Rhea Ripley at Elimination Chamber. I did fear here that Liv Morgan would be annihilated, and she wasn't. As you said, it was DQ finish when Becky Lynch ran in and attacked Nia. So I think everyone was a winner here, Kenny. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if Nia does another job on Raw next week. Do you think maybe Liv Morgan will be involved? Maybe, actually, somebody probably will be involved, and whoever's involved will be the person that Nia Jax will be wrestling at WrestleMania, I would think.
Yeah, and that's a good spot for them because I think that Nia does deserve a spot after the
Yeah.
work that she's done. I think Liv deserves one as well. So, I mean, Nia Jax, she has improved so much in this run compared to what she was before she left the last time. It's just
Yeah, I
she.
mean, there was no motivation there anymore, was there? I
No.
mean, she's got herself in better shape, clearly. She can still go. She's, you know, she wants it. You can see she wants to be there. I think towards the end of her last run, I think she just, you know, lost all enthusiasm. And, you know, being in the tag matches, and it just felt like she was kind of lost. Like she didn't, you know, she wasn't really focused. And I think the booking also wasn't very helpful at the time, whereas now it's a lot more focused, isn't it? It just feels
Yes.
like everyone knows where they're going. You know, there's
Yeah.
more structure. There's just much more structure, and it's straightforward as well. Because I mean, bookings are not supposed to be overly complicated. When it gets overly complicated, that's when it falls apart. People are like, well, who's doing what and why is this happening? And you know, if you're starting asking too many questions, I think as a booker, you've kind of failed. You
Yeah,
know,
I would
okay,
agree.
ask questions about where this might go, but you shouldn't be asking questions like, well, why is this happening again? What was the point of that? You know, those are not the questions that the audience should be asking. But yeah, I enjoyed this. I thought it was really well done. And they weren't out there too long either. And you know, obviously we talked as well back in, it was the day one Raw, wasn't it, that
Yes.
Nia Jax scored the remarkably clean pin on Becky Lynch, actually, wasn't it? And that was a really good match.
Yeah, which kind of leads into now what we're seeing now. So at least it was for a reason.
Yes.
And in the main event of the show, we saw Cody Rhodes beat Grayson Waller after what happened on the Waller Effect at Chamber. Not really much to say about the match, but more after the match is what's to talk about because Cody Rhodes was interrupted by Paul Heyman, and Cody Rhodes basically was not giving you the same Cody Rhodes that he gave Paul Heyman last year when they had a conversation around this time. And instead he said that he's hunting the bloodline. And I thought that again, this was like a WrestleMania season segment. This is what you expect at this time of year, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Cody Rhodes versus Grayson Waller. I mean, that was okay. Cody won after the Cody Cutter and the Crossroads. Should just mention, actually, there was an earlier interview with Grayson Waller backstage with Kathy Kelly, and he actually put her off. And she could tell she was really upset. He put her off, and she was tripping over her words. And I was just like, Grayson, you're not supposed to do that. And she was really miffed at the end of that interview.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rhodes and Waller, he was okay. I mean, it was a big test for Waller, and I thought he did all right here. But as you said, the important thing was the post-match angle. They'd said on commentary that Paul Heyman was in the building. You know, it was well known that he was there. And then they were speculating, Pat McAfee and Michael Cole were speculating, which other members of the Bloodline are there. and him and said that he was the only member of the bloodline there. It was not a bloodline set up. Heyman said that he was there with three men who he said were suspended members of the New York Police Department. It wasn't NYPD, he said, right?
Did he? I didn't clock what one he said.
That can't be right because we're in San Jose. I must just be making that up. But he said there were suspended members of police force, which was a bit odd.
Yes.
And then, Heyman then pleaded with Cody to withdraw his challenge to The Rock, or else. And then Cody said, "Or else what?" And Cody said he was through being a nice guy. Heyman was going to enter the ring, and Rhodes said, "No, do not enter that ring." And then the three guys got in the ring, and Cody had the chair. Cody said, "If anyone takes another step towards me, I'm going to take you out." And then he beat down all the guys, really hammered them with chairs. Heyman retreated. He's now got two phones, so he's calling The Rock and calling Roman Reigns at the same time.
The nice touch.
And that the line was, "The bloodline isn't hunting me, I'm hunting the bloodline." So presumably Cody will be on SmackDown this Friday, Kenny, to
Yes,
have
I
some sort
imagine
of
so.
interaction with The Rock, who's going to be there.
Yeah, I would imagine that's what we're going to see. So a good hook again for what's coming up. So I thought Raw had a lot going on. Yeah, I think they delivered on pretty much all the big stuff they wanted to do.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was some short matches which, aren't really worthy of a mention. But I think all the big stuff, I think, delivered and advanced the relevant storylines.
Well, that is all the time we've got for today. We hope that you have enjoyed the podcast. We'll be doing an overrun on the next issue of PowerSlam magazine, so you can get that on Patreon at patreon.com/insidetheropes. And as always, Inside the Ropes magazine is where you can .com is where you can pick up the mag. PowerSlamMagazine.com is where you can pick up the yearbook from 1994. That's all the plugs. So yeah, Finn, I'm very glad that you're relaxed and you can start to relax.
Well, thank
In
you.
theory, in
Yeah, thank
theory.
you. It doesn't feel like I've got any work done this week. I don't know why, but anyway, it doesn't feel like I have. So I'm going to crack on with my Elimination Chamber review tomorrow.
And then we will be back next Thursday on the main feed with PowerSlam, longer episodes. So yeah, we hope that you'll join us then, and we'll talk to you soon, everybody.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.